The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back, and it's great to have all of you with us on the final hour of a very busy afternoon. Nicole Auerbach joining us from The Athletic, just a fantastic source of information on college athletics. Nicole, thanks so much. I want to talk about first the story you did earlier, dealing with the Pac-12 and where the college football playoff is going now that the Texas-Oklahoma train has come down. You reported that it could be slowed down. Tell us what you have learned about this.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, this was always a possibility, right, that the playoff wouldn't expand until 2026. But I think people and fans got very excited, and they were hopeful that it could be as soon as 2023. Talking to people throughout the rest of the country, they think that this is an opportunity or a necessity that they need to slow this thing down. You know, I think there's a line of thinking that presidents and chancellors and commissioners involved in this will want to see what the fallout is from a realignment standpoint, see when Oklahoma and Texas are going to be joining the SEC. But also, I think some people have some questions. You know, we had Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkoff quoted on the record in the story talking about wanting to have some answers about why the certain people that were on the four-person working group were on it, why there was not more opportunities for input from the other leagues, including the ACC, Big Ten, and the Pac-12. And looking at that, because he, as he said, there were people in that working group that were operating under imperfect information, because obviously Bob Boolsby, the Big 12 commissioner, was unaware that Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, was making decisions about what he was recommending and supporting in the expansion model. And Bob Boolsby didn't know that Greg Sankey was talking to Oklahoma and Texas and was going to add them to his conference. So I think people are just looking back over that period of time, especially the last 6 months, looking at it differently. And Kliavkoff also brought up that he didn't understand at the time, he's brand new, remember, didn't understand at the time why the CFP was rushing to recommend this 12-team proposal back in June. And he says now, even though he hasn't gotten a clear answer, he thinks he has a better idea about why that rush was happening, because certainly it benefited the SEC to get a 12-team playoff with a lot of at-large spots.
Yeah, I mean, you've said it already, and I don't think he left too much open for interpretation. So we're talking really about Greg Sankey here, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, sitting in that room clearly with some knowledge of what was coming down. Now listen, you know, commissioners, like we all do, they don't speak the same language the rest of us do. I mean, they'll say that, you know, lawyers called and we just we took the information and we went to our committee and you know all that. But let's talk about, I mean, I don't know if I want to say this is an allegation, but it's certainly an inference, and it has consequences, does it not?
Yeah, the reason that people are not going to be super clear on this, even if they suspect it, which a lot of people throughout college sports do suspect that, you know, Greg Sankey, at least over the last few months of this playoff expansion process, was aware that there was a possibility that he could be adding Oklahoma and Texas, which, you know, obviously makes a lot of sense for supporting a 12-team model. If you're adding Oklahoma and you think they're going to get in the playoff every year. So there are a lot of people across college sports that have a lot of questions about the timeline and how much overlap that he had and his knowledge of that potential addition as he was working on this 12-team model. But people can't really say it, and you can't really say it for certainty. You can't really allege this stuff publicly because there's going to be lawyers, right? We've already seen Oklahoma and Texas, you know, the language from the rest of the 12, the Big 12 geared towards them has gotten more threatening. I mean, we have the cease and desist letter to ESPN about their engagement with Big 12 schools and potential realignment. I mean, there's clearly the Big 12 is lawyering up. Other presidents in that conference have made references to this, that it was clearly something that had been in the works for a while. And that's, you know, they have bylaws, they have the grant of rights, they have legal issues that they're going to have here. There's going to be lawyers. We're going to learn a lot more about the timeline of this. But that's why everyone's being very careful. So, you know, a lot of people think that Greg Sankey was operating under, you know, he had this information, he was having conversations, behind Bob Boolsby's back. But it's very hard to put that stuff out there publicly without knowing, because there's so much legal exposure.
Yeah, and speaking of legal exposure, let me get to the story that could be leading the news later tonight and tomorrow morning. As you well know, Nicole, it's being reported that Bob Boolsby has sent ESPN a cease and desist letter. Now, you can interpret that any way you want. This is not a law school class, but it's not hard to figure out what he's getting at here. And I realize this story is just in its infancy, but it's going to be a big one. And I'm curious, as somebody who is right at the vanguard of all of this, what it could mean.
Again, I think it's all tied together here. I mean, the rest of the Big 12 is really upset. They're really mad about what is happening. They're really upset and worried that the league is going to dissolve and what happens. The value obviously vastly diminished without Texas and Oklahoma, but they're really upset about the way this all went down. And I think they want answers about how long the conversations had been happening with Texas and Oklahoma, because this is moving really fast, which certainly suggests that there had been a lot of previous contact and coordination previously. And people want to know that, because you have these contracts, you have the grant and rights to keep people together, to stop things like this from happening. And I think there's a lot of hurt feelings. There's a lot of mistrust. There's a lot of just overall issues. Everyone understands this is a business, but it's college, collegial is part of the name. And so I think people want answers about that timeline and how this actually went down. I think that, again, the dynamic of that four-person working group looking at college football playoff expansion that had the Big 12 commissioner and the SEC commissioner on it as this was unfolding, those are the things people are talking about throughout the country right now. And everyone would like answers, but no one more so than the Big 12 and probably Bob Boolsby himself about the timeline. And again, I think we're going to find that out as everyone lawyers up.
Yeah. And speaking of lawyers up, I mean, let's not get too hung up on the he said, she said, the cease and desist, what it all means, demanding answers. But, you know, we're talking about the Big 12 conference sending this letter to one of its media partners as of the hour. Nicole, I know we're trying to look pretty deep into the future, but this looks like a pretty bad breakup, and it's important that we know it's going to be broken up. But when would this conversation going on with this legal gymnastics going on, would that indicate to you at this early hour that maybe this thing is going to blow up sooner rather than later?
Well, I think we've been wondering that all along, and a lot of people have been making those parallels to, you know, you catch your spouse cheating on you and then you decide to live with them and do everything with them for four years afterwards, right? Like we've all been, you know, thinking about how awkward that could be for four more years, especially with the way that this went down and how upset people are and how hurt people are. We've seen it be very awkward when there's been an outgoing member who has like one final year in a conference, right? So to imagine four more years, you know, everyone's been expecting that there will be lawyers, there will be, you know, tens of millions of dollars paid out to get out of that. And I think, you know, the only way not to is if the rest of the league kind of dissolves and those other schools want to get out of this grant of rights before 2025, too. Maybe that saves everyone some money. But if you're mad and you're being spiteful, don't you want Oklahoma and Texas to pay up? Don't you want to see how much you can get from them because they are, you know, causing all of these major problems for the rest of the Big 12 schools? So that's where this is. And that's why I think the assumption is obviously that we're not going to see four more years. This is already very ugly. It is already, you know, clearly a divorce, and it's clearly going to get uglier and uglier as lawyers get involved. Now ESPN gets pulled into it, which obviously, you know, has relationships with other leagues, including the one that Oklahoma and Texas are going to right now, and including the one in the American Athletic Conference that might try to talk to some of these Big 12 leftover schools, right? So that's where it gets really messy. But, I think just because of how hurt and upset and shocked and blindsided so many people were in the Big 12 last week, that's where the assumption came from right out of the gate that this wouldn't last four more years, that you can't imagine them deciding to play nice for four more years, because it's already a bad divorce. It's already ugly. And it's just, you know, you can't imagine that they're going to flip a switch and be like, okay, let's pretend that things are fine for 4 years and get through four seasons. That's just incredibly unlikely.
So I didn't mean to bury the lead here, an old newspaper phrase, as we both know. But really, you've answered it. But I want to end on the same thing we began with. We were so excited 5 weeks ago when it looked like the CFP would be 2 years away, expanding to 12. Right now, Nicole, as someone who covers this as closely or and as well as anyone in the country, taking a guess here, which is tough to do, but do you think we're going to see this in 2 years?
I mean, I don't want to say yes for sure or no for sure, but it's definitely getting less and less likely, especially if you have presidents and commissioners involved in the process who want to hit the pause, who want to reevaluate what has happened here and buy themselves some time. But also there might be people who just want to wait and let the dust settle with realignment and see where people are and let some of this decide, you know, just the fallout happen. I mean, think about Oklahoma and Texas. We don't know when they are going to have their first season in the SEC right now. Right now, they're applying for membership in 2025. We don't think it's going to take that long. So wouldn't you like to know that before you look at this 12-team model and how it's exactly going to work? I think you're also seeing that the Pac-12, ACC, and the Big Ten could align themselves together to push back together and to try to get some of their input in the process, because none of those three leagues were in the working group and they all have new commissioners. So what does that look like? I just think there were already people involved in the process who wanted to slow it down, potentially take it to 2026, have it go to the open market, try to get more money, get other media partners involved in this process, in the bidding. So now, if that was your preference 5 weeks ago, now you have a little bit more leverage, because I think there's a lot of people in other leagues that are saying, hey, we need to slow this thing down. And maybe they want to talk to Greg Sankey about what he was pushing for, what he knew. Again, I think he's going to be pretty guarded about that. But I do think there's some concerns, and you saw them in the piece from George Kliavkov, about the process looking back on how the timelines overlapped and just how this was decided, which leagues got representation in the working group. So I think all of that's going to come out. And again, I'm very curious to see if the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12 stay aligned in their thinking, and maybe they're the ones that push to slow this process down.
Nicole, thank you very much. A lot of things happening literally at the same time. We will appreciate your being on. And what Nicole said there is really disturbing a little bit for all of us who could not wait to get this 12-team playoff in 2 years. There are just so many things happening in this back and forth between the Big 12 and the network, and who knows where else this is going to dominate the news overnight as we get ready for tomorrow, when Oklahoma and Texas begin to move closer to formally asking for entrance into the SEC. So Bob Bowlsby has sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN. We'll try to get to the bottom of that as much as we can when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome you back. A busy day, just got busier and more dramatic just when you think we have seen it all. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And David is up next in Texas. David, thank you. Good afternoon. Hey, David.
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead. You're on the air. Thank you.
Hey. Okay. Hi, Paul. Hey, I'm a first-time caller. I've watched the show quite often, but some things I've heard made me want to call it and comment. And I'm afraid that Manuel guy in Austin pretty much typifies what Longhorn fans are like. They're arrogant and obnoxious and condescending to Aggies in particular, and we don't like them. Okay, we don't like them, and they're entitled. They've always gotten their way. They've always gotten preferential treatment in the Big 12. You know, the other five Power Five conferences all have their own network. Well, the Big 12 has a Longhorn network, and Texas keeps all the money. Now that just rubs so much, you know what, in everybody's face, and Texas just tells you to learn to love it. So anyway, the point is, Texas is the one that polluted the neighborhood and made it too toxic to live there. So now they want to move to my neighborhood. And beyond the Aggies not liking the Longhorns, I can't really see 11 teams voting to let them in. I think Arkansas and Missouri still hate them from before, and Alabama and LSU, obviously, and I'm even told that Ole Miss and Mississippi State recruit the state of Texas pretty heavy, and all that goes away if you let Texas in. And you know, the realignment supposedly takes Alabama and Auburn to the east. I don't think Georgia and Florida will vote for that. In other words, I don't think this vote is a slam dunk. Like, everything I read makes it sound like it's a slam dunk.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's supposed to happen tomorrow with all this litigation flying. I don't think anything is a guarantee, because the one thing that we didn't count on today was, and you know, some of this, I don't really know what's going on. I mean, I hate to start casting stones here, but I know Bob Bowlesby pretty well. He's a straight shooter. He's now bringing the company I work for into the fray here, which makes this thing a little more high stakes for everyone. But you know, I don't know what's going to happen now. I mean, I thought really it was a fait accompli. It was going to happen, but right now I don't think any of us know where we are. Cody is up next. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Cody is in Texas, and you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'm just really excited that, because I was too young to get to experience Texas versus Texas A&M, Texas versus Missouri, all the rivalries, Texas, Arkansas. I'm just really excited that I get to finally experience those.
Well, that's a great point there, Cody. Hey, thank you very much for joining. How old are you, Cody?
I'm 12.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you for calling. You be well, okay?
You too.
And let me update this story. It's always pretty peculiar when the company you work for is in the crossfire, but you know, this is not something that it isn't news. According to Ralph Russo of the Associated Press, he has just spoken to Bob Bowlesby, and Bowlesby has sent a cease and desist letter to ESPN, as we've been reporting, and he told Russo of the AP, Bowlesby did, he said, I have absolute certainty they, meaning ESPN, have been involved in manipulating other conferences to go after our members. In the cease and desist letter, he also accuses ESPN of speaking to another member of the league beyond Oklahoma and Texas, and let me say, I don't know any more than anyone else. I mean, I'm a talk show host. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an executive. I am a talk show host who tries to put on a good program. I'm not sure what's going on here, but I will tell you this: I don't ever remember a commissioner, part of a collegial family, you know, making some of the claims, because I don't know what the genesis of the claims are that Bowlesby currently is. You just heard from Nicole Arabeck a minute ago, who talked about how now the CFP situation is in jeopardy because of the new Pac-12 commissioner being upset that Bowlesby and Sankey were sitting there together while all this was going on, while Bowlesby was completely unaware and Sankey was. So, we are seeing it's been a dramatic week. We all know that. It's been a dramatic 7 days. But the events of today, and I know this is more internal and inside baseball than outside, but I mean, there's a lot of fur flying here. We will take a break and come back with the final 30 minutes of this program, and we invite you to give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we are back, and we appreciate all of you being here on a late Wednesday afternoon. Let's continue with more phone calls. Jeff is calling next. Jeff, good afternoon, and you are on the air. Jeff, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, it's a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you.
And I enjoyed hearing Dean on here.
He's great.
Saw him play every game as a kid. I didn't miss a game in Norman from 68 to 93. And I'd recommend Al Eschbach at the Sports Animal in Oklahoma City for another good media guy there. Talking about Texas fans, it just goes to the heart of their state. I mean, they won their own independence from Mexico, and it all just starts there. I've been in the Cotton Bowl at halftime when we're up 42-7 or 49-0 on them, and you look down there and they're still standing there and they're burnt orange and white, like, yeah, okay, we're losing, but we're still Texans and you're not. And that's where it stems from. I mean, it's a state pride, and they're fun people. They're not obnoxious. I've seen some of these people call in because now I've started watching your show. It's kind of like living in Tampa. I never liked Tom Brady, and then I realized I didn't like Tom Brady. I just didn't like the uniform he was wearing now that he's a Buck, And so now I've been watching your show all week. And the last caller, the interview on the cease and desist letter, I've watched the Big 12, and OU was exploring the SEC in the early 90s when Arkansas came. They've always had an eye to this conference, but we've been, tied down to with Oklahoma State. Oh, you can't leave them, and we tried to take them to the Pac-12 in 2010, and it didn't work. I think the SEC is just such a great fit for us, and Bowlesby as a commissioner is terrible. I mean, he's the reason the Big 12 imploded. And the cease and desist letter is just a little disingenuous.
By the way, it's one thing, the cease and desist letter is just part of a legal mechanism. But, he's now giving interviews, and with each interview, he's adding a little more firepower. And I understand the frustration, but, man, he's making some pretty serious allegations.
I haven't been able to, because I've been watching your show all afternoon. I haven't been able to hear everything.
Well,
that's come out.
I mean, listen, you can't. I mean, the problem, and everyone wants to claim autonomy. You know, you have ESPN, you have all the colleges, and I have no earthly idea what's going on. But by casting the spotlight on ESPN, Bowlesby has ratcheted up the conversation, and that's where the headlines will be tomorrow. I mean, you're talking. It's self-explanatory what he's saying. You know, does he have an ounce of proof that remains to be seen? You can give all the interviews you want, but you know, and nobody really wants to go to court on this, and nobody's expecting to. This is all about, you know, some sort. There's an end game here for Bob Bowlesby, whatever that is.
Yeah. Now, does the vote go ahead as scheduled tomorrow? Do you think?
I am wondering about that because. You know, I mean, everything was set in stone tomorrow, and then naturally there would be some sort of announcement in the aftermath, whether it's tomorrow or Friday. And you have to wonder, you know, I don't think it's going to change, but I would imagine the lawyers right now are working a little bit later than they like to, especially being a late summer day when golf courses are open until 8:30.
Yeah. Well, I grew up, I was born and raised in Oklahoma, and aside from Oak Tree, Southern Hills, and maybe one or two others, the golf courses out there aren't that great. But, you know.
Well, you mentioned Southern Hills is pretty famous, though. They've had quite a few majors there. Oak Hill or I can't remember. Oak Tree. There's two great courses out there. I do know that.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I look forward to listening to you and watching your show now. You know, it's kind of the I hated the SEC chant, and, you know, now I've already posted it on Facebook, you know, SEC, SEC.
Well, Jeff, we're glad to have you. We think, not that we think we're glad to have you. We hope this is going to happen. Thank you very, very much for the phone call. And Kurt is in Missouri as we continue here. Kurt, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Well, Kurt, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for taking my call. And as a Missouri Tiger fan, I can't begin to tell you how much, how good it feels to be sitting out this round of realignment.
I bet.
And it was one of the best moves Missouri ever made 10 years ago to join the SEC. And there was a gentleman earlier who was talking about Texas's arrogance. As a Missouri Tiger fan, I can assure you that many, many people in Missouri share his sentiment. Texas's arrogance really ruined the Big 12, and it also ruined the Southwest Conference. They made life very, very difficult for Missouri, and they tried to extract as much as they possibly could monetarily when we moved to the SEC. They criticized the SEC for being an inferior conference compared to the Big 12 because Missouri won the East in 2013 and 2014. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the SEC really, really needs to put a grip on Texas and make sure they don't do to the SEC what they've done to two other conferences. With that said, I guess my main question for you is, what's your opinion on football Darwinism entering into the quotient? What happens when teams like, say, Mizzou, Vandy, and maybe South Carolina don't quite compete to the same level as maybe the SEC is accustomed to? And I do believe Missouri is on the rise with Eli Drinkwitz. But what happens down the road when you get Texas into the conference and they decide, well, we can make more money if we trade out these inferior programs that don't meet the same level of standard of, as you know, in Alabama, and we can bring in others and keep our numbers at the same level, but reduce the number of teams that we have competing. What's your opinion on that?
Kurt, I asked Coach Donnan this earlier, and you know he had a fairly flippant response. He was joking, but I have great concern about everyone else. And you know, listen, I'm excited and fired up about this, and because you know, I mean, you know, we sit here and talk about the big picture items, but there are a lot of middle, and I mean nobody's middle of the road, but if you're in the middle division to the lower division, this could cause you some real problems because there will likely be an additional conference game, which makes it more difficult to have a winning record. And the competition has just been ratcheted up even more. And we were already talking about the toughest league in college football.
Yeah, it's a real concern. Yeah, the relief that we in Missouri had when we got to the SEC is immeasurable. And to think that there's a possibility that, you know, if we're like a Midland team and we're 500, that we could actually be pushed out of the SEC for a team that would be more attractive monetarily. And I would hope that would not come to that, because I think that would really run college football. But anyway, your show is really awesome, and thank you for your professionalism, and congratulations on your extended contract, and we look forward to the football season this year.
Thank you very much for all of that, Kurt. I've never been more excited about beginning a new tour of duty than I am right now. Let's talk to Dr. Bob. I need a doctor right now. Bob, good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thanks. This is Dr. Bob.
Doctor, come cure our ills. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Paul, I had a couple of things I wanted to share with you, and I am, as an Ole Miss fan, I am totally opposed to the admission of Oklahoma and Texas into the SEC. I got three good reasons why.
Sure.
First of all, I don't want to have to get in a plane and travel to these places. And I think most folks, the average fan, is going to have a hard time making these away games because they're going to have to catch a plane. The other thing is recruiting. Man, recruiting against these guys while we're in the SEC and they're not, we can say, hey, we're in the SEC, come play with us. You're going to be competing against the best in the country. But once they come in, we cannot use that as a recruiting tool against them. And really, I guess the last thing is, these are quality opponents. And as an Ole Miss fan, I want the best chances I have of beating somebody. And these guys are good. And frankly, I want to win as many games as I can. And these guys, you know, I'm going to say at best, as being an honest Ole Miss fan, you know, maybe we'll have a 50-50 chance from one year to the next. And that's being optimistic. So my question for you, Paul, is this. Very simple. When these presidents and chancellors and boards of trustees all get together, are they going to take any of these things into consideration, or is it all going to be about the money?
Bob, I don't know the answer to that. Hey, by the way, I just looked it up. I was trying to find – I may not have this correct. I was trying to find the longest trip in the SEC. I've got right now Gainesville to Norman, Oklahoma. It's only a 17-hour trip.
Oh, that's it.
That's not nearly as bad as Morgantown, West Virginia, to wherever the farthest point in the Big 12. But, hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.